Just ahead of International Holocaust Remembrance Day, Muslim World League Secretary General Dr. Mohammed bin Abdul Karim al-Issa and American Jewish Committee CEO David Harris led a groundbreaking visit of Muslim and Jewish delegations to Auschwitz last week. Al-Issa, a former Saudi justice minister, led the delegation of 62 Muslims, including 25 prominent religious leaders from 28 countries. The mission was the most senior Islamic leadership delegation to ever visit any Nazi death camp. We heard more about the visit from Rabbi David Rosen, International Director of Interreligious Affairs of the AJC.
It was indeed unique and special and deeply moving. AJC took the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, that's based in Mecca, and that Saudi Institute is arguably the most powerful Muslim organization in the world, and therefore he may be described as the most senior Muslim civil servant in the world, but with a delegation of Muslim leaders from different countries, including Lebanon, Morocco, the Gulf, Tunisia, Egypt, to Auschwitz. There's never ever before had been such a high level Arab Muslim delegation at the extermination sites. And in addition to visiting the sites of Auschwitz and Birkenau, there were memorial prayers at the memorial site in Birkenau. And then as it was prayer time, all the Muslims prostrated themselves in prayer and expressed their profound solidarity with the Jewish people. Al-Issa was extremely eloquent in condemning Holocaust denial as continuing to perpetrate the evil deeds. And the next day we were in Warsaw, where there was a very moving memorial service at the main synagogue, where Dr. Al-Issa spoke and I spoke. And then in the evening we had a Shabbat dinner, all of the Muslims together with the heads of religions in Poland and official political and civic leaders at the Royal Castle. So from going from a point of expressing deep solidarity with Jewish pain and suffering to respect for Jewish tradition, we were able to celebrate Jewish celebration together. And that was, I forgot to mention that earlier in the day we attended also the service in the local mosque. So we also sought to show our respect, the Jewish delegation, for the Muslim tradition, just as our Muslim brothers and sisters were showing respect for ours.
Now, you mentioned that this was the most senior leadership delegation of its kind to make such a trip. What was some of the work that went into building this and making it happen?
Well, I suppose you could say many years of building up relationships. From my, I'm responsible for all AJC's interfaith work around the world, and relationships with the Arab Muslim world has been one of my priorities in recent years. As a result, I'm actually on the board of the Saudi Arabian Established Interfaith Institute, established together with Austria and Spain and the Vatican, and that's based in Vienna. And through my position of being on the board of directors, I met Dr. Al-Issa a number of years ago and established that personal relationship with him. He sought to reach out, especially to U.S. Jewry, but also to the community at large in the United States. And there was an event a year ago at which we both spoke at the United Nations. And this was coordinated with the World Council of Religious Leaders, in which I serve, which is directed by a man by the name of Mr. Bauer Jane. And he facilitated a special meeting with the AJC, at which a memorandum of understanding was signed a little more than a year ago, that inter alia committed Dr. Al-Issa to taking a Muslim leadership delegation to Auschwitz on the 75th anniversary of its liberation. So logistically, it's been a year in the planning. And the truth of the matter is, until it happened at the very last moment, I would not have been surprised if it would have been torpedoed by all the different forces, not only within the Arab Muslim world, but also within Jewish world, that didn't want it to happen. But it, in the end, it was the product of many years of building up relationships.
And why would certain forces not want it to happen?
Well, already a number of the people, especially the Lebanese Sheikh, Shia Sheikh, who participated us, have not only been condemned by extremist Arab Muslim elements, but he's had a death warrant issued against him. And I doubt whether he's able to even go back to Lebanon now. And there are many elements within the Arab Muslim world that believe that the Holocaust is a myth and that these Muslim leaders are patsies playing into Jewish propaganda and manipulation. So also precisely those that they are standing up against and are condemning are those who obviously feel threatened enough to be able to pour out their venom on them. Within the Jewish community, there are skeptics that say having anything to do with an organization like the Muslim World League, which was traditionally a Wahhabist operation for propagating a rather narrow-minded Muslim perspective, is actually trying to, if you like, whitewash the try to make the problematic institution look good. Of course, there is always a challenge with regards to dealing with hardcore elements with any religious particular tradition. But Al-Issa has already demonstrated that since he came into his position some 2.5 years ago, he has completely changed the orientation of the Muslim World League. And anyway, if someone reaches out to you to do something good, I think that's precisely what our sages encourage us to do. Talmud says do the right things even for the wrong reasons, because eventually you'll do the right things for the right reasons. So I think that tactically and strategically, this was absolutely the right thing to do. I understand the skeptics within our community, but I think they're wrong.
Do you think, just as you mentioned, that there has been some pushback, but also given the fact of this delegation and its members, that there's also going to be fostering further interfaith collaboration and cooperation?
Unquestionably, and I think we will see direct products in the very near future, even the possibility, therefore, of visits to Saudi Arabia, as well as joint initiatives to advance Muslim-Jewish cooperation.
To that end, this week in Israel, the Interior Minister signed an order which broadens the conditions under which Israelis can travel to Saudi Arabia, a country with whom Israel does not have diplomatic ties, though the government has been discussing warming ties with Arab states. Do you think that these kinds of efforts can also have an impact as well in the diplomatic sphere?
Well, all good things can have a positive impact. This, as I think the media has made out a little more of this decision by the Minister of Interior than what it really is. Simply until now, if an Israeli traveled to Saudi Arabia, he would be committing a criminal offense. Simply this now, in this instruction from the Minister of Interior, means that any Israelis who do go to Saudi Arabia are no longer criminals by virtue of that visit. And this has got no indication that they are going to get invitations or that it's going to be necessarily any easier for Israelis to visit Saudi Arabia, even though we know that many do, but not overtly. This is still something that is, I think, a little way ahead.
And even though Al-Issa's former position as a minister in Saudi Arabia, could that in some way have some sort of impact?
I think what you can say is that Al-Issa's position as a former minister and now as the Secretary General of the World Muslim League is by virtue of the backing he has from the highest level of the country. In other words, he's an appointee. He just in his previous position, he was an appointee of the previous king. So now he, in these positions, is the appointee of the present king. And therefore, there's nothing he does that is not sanctioned by the highest political authorities in Saudi Arabia. So obviously there are political ramifications and signs in that in itself.